Powering Michigan's Future with Dick Hagner.
Good evening. Tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future will spend some time with the folks from Habitat for Humanity Detroit, who are continuing their important work in the city with a seven-home Detroit build project that kicks off this week in the Morningside neighborhood. Our guests tonight include Vincent Tilford, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity Detroit, Dan Guerin, Construction Manager with Habitat Detroit, Michael Richard, Business Manager for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58, Art Ashley, President and CEO of Ferndale Electric, and Elgina Johnson, a lucky lady who will be moving into a new Habitat home in the coming weeks. So stay tuned for WJR's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Once again, your host, Dick Hagner.
Welcome to this edition of Powering Michigan's Future. We're joined by Vincent Tilford, Executive Director for Habitat for Humanity in Detroit, and Dan Guerin, the Habitat Detroit Construction Manager, to discuss their overall mission and an exciting Detroit build project kicking off this week. Welcome, gentlemen. What is Habitat and how does it work? Vincent, why don't you kick us off?
Well, thanks, Dick. Habitat for Humanity, I guess a lot of people, when they think about us, they think about Jimmy Carter. So they all think that the president started us, but in fact, we were started by a man and his wife named Millard Fuller. And started back in 1976 in Georgia. We've been here in Detroit for a little over 25 years, started back in 1986 here. And we've been working here in Detroit ever since. Over that time period, we've built over 350 homes. And as time has gone on, we've kind of focused around neighborhoods. We think neighborhoods are important, and we're trying to help rebuild neighborhoods in Detroit one block at a time. So we've been in the Morningside Commons neighborhood for about 7 years. And over that time, we've built 93 homes. And we're pretty excited that this year, when we get started, we're going to do 7 homes in 7 days, and we will complete 100 homes, which was our initial commitment to the Morningside Commons neighborhood.
Now, it did help to have Jimmy Carter sign on pretty early, didn't it?
It did. I mean, he's actually been here to Detroit. We had what's called the Jimmy Carter Work Project here back in 2005, and we focused on another neighborhood then, which is Core City Neighborhoods, not too far from Old Tiger Stadium.
Now, you say 7 houses in 7 days?
7 houses in 7 days, and so we're going to have the whole home erected. You'll see the roof, shingles, siding, windows, doors, all of that will be in. And that's our first week of what we call a blitz. And then after that, we'll have finishers come in, so we'll have some of the finish work done on the inside. And then in the fourth week, we'll have our volunteers back, and they're going to work on doing the painting and some of the other finish work inside.
Of course, a lot of work happens before the 7 days start.
Oh, absolutely. You have to dig the holes. You have to excavate and pour the concrete for the basement. So, yes, a lot of work has already gone into it, and not just in sort of the physical work, but also a lot of planning. We have to work with a lot of different players. We've worked with the City of Detroit, obviously. We work with a number of different sponsors and planning to have them to come out with their volunteers. We work with some of our what we call our habituals, and we kind of talk about it almost as if it's a disease. You know, when you come out and you work for Habitat, you get what's called habitisis or habitosis, and then once you get that, you become a habitual. So we work very closely with our habitual partners, and they've been very good with us in terms of all the planning.
I think I know what you mean there. How are the projects financed?
Well, we've been blessed in a lot of ways. We have a lot of corporate sponsors and mostly institutions here in the city of Detroit. You may also recall maybe about a year and a half ago, Dan Ackerson of General Motors and his wife, it was a 40th anniversary gift to themselves, but they donated $1 million to Habitat for Humanity Detroit to help us with our work in Morningside. I think they were really impressed with the need that was there and also the work that we were doing. The work that we're doing in Morningside is not just building homes, but we're also trying to make the street safer for many of the children that have to walk by vacant, abandoned lots that have a lot of debris, or vacant homes that are not boarded up. We have two schools in the Morningside community, and so our focus is even beyond the 100 houses that we're going to complete. Our focus is also in strengthening those streets that are around the schools, putting up new houses where it makes sense, rehabbing where it makes sense, but really working to make that community whole.
Dan Guerin, you're the construction manager. How do you put together these volunteers who are not home builders and suddenly you make them home builders?
That's a great question. People come out and help us build houses all the time, not just for a blitz build like this, but we do this 5 days a week. We have a great volunteer department that recruits volunteers for us. Some come from our sponsor partners. A lot of volunteers just hear about us and come in off the street wanting to help build a home. So we take them through a safety orientation process in the morning, explain what the task is for the day, give them the tools that they need to complete the job, and guide them through the process.
You guide them through the process, so step by step you have to do that. Now that can slow the process down.
Well, it can, but we find that building homes with volunteers actually takes less time than it can with contractors, in that we get a lot of people that are interested in coming out and helping us, and we have a lot of bodies out on site helping us to get this done.
Do sometimes too many people show up to help?
Sometimes, but that's much less frequent.
So you still want people to raise their hands and get online and make phone calls and volunteer?
Absolutely. We couldn't do this without all of our partnerships, including the volunteers who come out and bang all these walls together, pound nails. That's the key activity.
Vincent told us about the habituals, and I'm sure you have lots of habituals, which probably helps you out a lot in the builds, the blitz builds. But I would suspect that a lot of them come back because not only do they want to do a good deed for the community and they want to help people, but they're helping themselves. They're learning a lot.
That's true. You do learn a lot building a Habitat house. We have a couple of habituals who own their own businesses. Some of our habituals are retired and not in the building trades at all. They've learned how to work on projects around their own home by working on Habitat houses, too.
How do you keep a project inexpensive? How do you keep it on budget?
Well, that's not always easy, but I'll tell you, the work that the volunteers do saves a lot of money on labor, of course. We try very hard to keep our expenses low by working with partners, providing labor and materials in a lot of cases.
Well, we're going to hear from a partner family upcoming here on Powering Michigan's Future, and we'll talk about how they're selected, and we'll have more questions for Vincent and for Dan as we continue on Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here's Dick Haechner.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We're joined by Vincent Tilford, the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity Detroit, and Dan Guerin, the Habitat Detroit Construction Manager. And we'll continue our discussion by learning more about their upcoming Detroit Build project, and that'll be over on the east side. Vincent, tell us where this is happening.
This is actually happening at Mack and Alter, just north and east of that intersection. So we're bordered by Grosse Pointe to the south with that Mack Avenue border. We go all the way over to Outer Drive, which is the eastern border, and Morningside also goes up to I-94 and is bordered on the west by Alter. What we are doing, though, is that we're building in a 16 contiguous block area. That's where we made our first commitment. And so when you go into that neighborhood now, in these 16 contiguous blocks, you'll see just rows of new homes, and you'll see families out there, you know, enjoying their homes. So it's a really dramatic difference in that neighborhood.
That is a dramatic difference. In fact, just the visual is dramatic, isn't it? When people see that happening in their neighborhood, people who are not in a Habitat home,
that changes their outlook on their neighborhood, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we not only for our families who are buying homes, but even the families living in the neighborhood, you know, they'll say things like, you know, I can't believe that people that don't even know me, that don't even know this community, have come out to support the work that's going on here. So the community is very appreciative, and they get in. They pitch in as well.
So tell us, Vincent, how many homes and how many families are involved in this Morningside Build project?
Well, we're about to start our blitz. It's when we build several houses in a very short period of time, and we have 7 families, 7 homes in 7 days.
Will this be on the same street?
This is going to be on Lake Point and Maryland. So most of them, I believe, are going to be on Maryland. But this is just south of Warren Avenue and two blocks, east of Alter.
Okay, so that's a neighborhood where there's a lot of differentiation. There's some bombed out homes, and there are some homes that are very well kept up. And since you've been in the Morningside neighborhood, there are habitat houses too. And I think you would agree with me that in the Morningside neighborhood, this neighborhood is on the way up. This community is trending up. Right?
Oh, absolutely. We call it a community of choice. I mean, people want to come to Morningside. They said it has 2 great schools in the area. It's a new shopping center at Mac and Alter. It's a mixed income community. It's a mixed demographic community. In fact, when we first started over there, and you mentioned the sort of the bombed out homes, many homes actually have
vacant
been,
houses.
Yeah, vacant houses. But many of them had been demolished.
Yes, they have.
Yeah. One of the things, though, that had happened, though, is that wildlife has started to return. So, you know, from time to time, we see pheasants hooping and flying, you know, through some of the vacant lots there. But, you know, I guess we're moving them out as we're moving families in.
Now, there are families coming into these homes. Have the families been chosen?
Yes, we have more than 7 families. And so we don't get it assigned a house to a family until after they've completed about 50% of their hours. So our families, they work together on each other's homes. They know that they're going to get one of them, but they're not sure which one. And we may have 1 or 2 families that might be close to finishing up their hours, and we might be able to announce something to them during the blitz.
So this is a long-range project for families that move into Habitat. It's not just where you pick somebody that you think is deserving and say, here's a house, come on in.
Well,
not like that.
No, not at all. We have to go through about 100 applications to get a qualified family. And our families, I always tell folks, you know, they're some of the hardest working people that you're ever going to meet. First of all, they have to have a need. Many of our families may be coming from homes that are substandard, overcrowded conditions, their electrical plumbing may not be working. So we go out and we visit with the families where they currently live. So if they demonstrate the need, they also have to have the ability to partner. And by that, we look for families to put in 250 up to 350 hours of their own sweat equity. They can get some of certainly their families and friends to help out, but the actual homeowners have to put in that time as well. Then at the end of the day, they also have to have the ability to pay. We are a hand up, not a handout. And we want to support our families, and we want to get support for our future families as well. So our families receive at the end of the day a 0% interest mortgage. So everybody would love to have a 0% mortgage, but it's a good thing. They have skin in the game, and as they pay back their mortgage, it helps out future families.
Dan Guerin, what is the most surprising thing that you have learned over the course of time working with the families that are going to be moving into the houses as you're involving them and actually building them?
Wow, Dick, that's a great question. I don't think I can answer that in terms of having been surprised. When I first joined Habitat as a volunteer, I guess what surprised me was that I could learn how to build a house, a very high-quality, energy-efficient house, as a volunteer, and that the house was basically built by volunteers. There are, of course, trades that work on the houses where they have to. But we build a very energy-efficient, comfortable, and affordable home for our families.
Does it affect them knowing that they have built this house, it was picked for them, and then suddenly the day is coming where they're given the keys and you say, here it is, folks, and as you say, Vince, they have skin in the game. How much of a difference does that seem to make to them?
Oh, I think it makes a tremendous difference. Not only
I help build my house.
Absolutely, and they've helped to rebuild their neighborhood too. They get to know their neighbors during the process of putting in their sweat equity hours on their house or a neighbor's house. They get to know their neighbors and other families in the pipeline by going to family meetings. They've been out on site. They see what the neighborhood is like. And by the time they've gone through the process of putting in their sweat equity, making their down payment, and actually working to move into their home, they know exactly what's involved. They know the neighborhood, and they are excited about becoming part of that revitalization process.
Well, they certainly have to be involved in maintaining the house after they move in, and I would think that helping to build it helps them maintain it.
It does, absolutely. The more things we can teach a homeowner about minor drywall repairs and paint and things like that, siding repairs, the less likely they will be to have to call someone and pay a contractor to come out and fix a problem. The more self-sufficient they are, the more affordable the home is, and the more sustainable it is for them.
Vincent, do you ever see families that later on volunteer and say, I want to help somebody else build a house?
All the time. In fact, we got one family in Morningside. He was one of the first families that we built a house for in Morningside. And he comes out every year. He takes vacation every single year, and he works on our blitzes. And the reason why he says he does it is that he wants to be able to tell his children and his grandchildren that as they walk down all the streets and the blocks, I helped build that house and that house and that house. I mean, to him, he's leaving a legacy for his kids.
Given the amount of the vacant houses in Detroit, why does Habitat decide to build new houses? Why not try to renovate some of the old ones?
We actually do both. We first cut our teeth on rehabbing homes, and then later on the economics changed where it didn't make sense to rehab homes. We could build new homes almost as cheaply as it would be to rehab a home. Our homes, as Dan said earlier, are energy efficient. We also make our homes or build our homes in such a way where the operating costs are going to be very low as well. To do that with some of the rehabs will take a little bit more, but we actually are going to be rehabbing 7 homes over in Morningside this year as well. So we are doing more of that. And the other thing, too, is that some of the homes that we're rehabbing are a little larger than the homes that we would normally build. So as the homes get a little bit larger, it costs a little bit more as well.
How did the projects change over the years? In other words, do you learn something that you can take to a new project and say, we're going to do things a little bit differently here?
Well, I'm certain Dan could probably comment better on that, but I mean, just since the time that I've been there, our homes have really, I think, have changed a lot. We now build a home that we call a zero-step entry. So someone who's in a wheelchair visiting the home or someone in the home with a wheelchair, they can get into the home. They can maneuver down the hallway. The bathroom's large enough so that there's a circumference for them to turn their wheelchair in there. A lot of the energy improvements we've began doing in the last few years. So I think our homes have really transformed over the years.
Have they? How have they transformed, Dan?
Well, all of our homes are Energy Star 5-star rated, Michigan Green Built certified, and they're all visitable, as Vincent alluded to, in terms of getting someone into the home in a wheelchair and being able to visit the home.
Well, how important are the sponsors to the success of this overall program, Vince?
We could not do the work that we do without the sponsorships and the volunteers. I mean, we're just so grateful for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, you know, them coming in and providing that electrical labor and also with some of the materials. That's going to approximately save us about $2,500 a home. So that allows us to do some other things with that money to make that house more comfortable for the family. So our sponsors, we just love our sponsors. They're all coming out with volunteers. They'll be with us for several days. And, you know, hopefully, you know, they'll have a good experience and they'll leave something in the neighborhood they can be proud of.
Well, that amount of money is a tipping point for this, isn't it? You really couldn't do it without them.
Absolutely.
We'll hear more about the sponsors and the success that they have and why they do it as you stay tuned for more of Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Once again, your host, Dick Haefner.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We're joined by Vincent Tilford. He's Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity Detroit. Michael Richard, the Business Manager of IBEW Local 58. And Art Ashley, President and CEO of Ferndale Electric. And Art is a board member of the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeast Michigan, or NECA. Michael, welcome back to the program. And we're talking about sponsors and donations to the Habitat Detroit Build Program. And tell us about how the members of IBEW Local 58 are involved.
Well, thanks, Dick. Not only do I have the pleasure of representing some of the best trained electricians on the planet, also some of the most benevolent electricians on the planet, and we've been involved with Habitat since the beginning. I know I started out early on in my apprenticeship working on the houses, and it's a great way to get together, meet a lot of people that you don't see on the day-to-day jobs, and it's just a great cause, and everybody walks away from it feeling a little bit tired, but really good about themselves.
So it's not only a good deed for the community and the people who move in, but it's good for esprit de corps.
Absolutely, and we really encourage our apprentices to get involved because it's great exposure to the basics of wiring. So along with the camaraderie, you're learning and you're doing something great for the community.
Well, I would think that it's a pretty comforting feeling for the Habitat people and for the families to know that it's not just any electrician coming out. It's IBEW Local 58. These are the pros here.
Absolutely. And so we bring all that experience. Of course, we couldn't do what we do without the help from our contractors that not only step in and help with the permits, but also with donating materials and bodies. They send the people out there to help work along with us. Whether they're pulling them off jobs to do it or it's just a great team effort.
Michael, you've been working with Habitat as you pointed out ever since the beginning around here. When was the first time you set foot on a Habitat project and saw what they do?
Oh, I'd have to guess more than 15 years ago, I'd say.
Whoa.
15, 17 years. So, it's been quite a while. We've done quite a few of them. It's just a really good thing. And like I said, our members not only learning, but they get that good feeling at the end of the day that they've accomplished something great for the community. So we've had a long involvement with them, and we're looking forward to many years to come.
And they have an opportunity, too, to teach people because you've got all those volunteers, and the volunteers are looking for guys like you to actually show them what to do and how to do it.
Absolutely. So it's a great day out there, and you actually get to, work alongside with the people, the families that are going to be living in the homes, and that's another great part of it. So,
as far as feedback that you get from the members when they participate in projects like these, do you have a lot of guys who like to go back and do it again and again?
Absolutely. You'll see the same faces, and then we get the new ones in there, and then on the next one, that group just keeps growing. So, depending on the people's schedules and times, but you've always see people wanting to get back in there and do it again. It's just, again, it's a great thing, so people want to come back and get that feeling again.
And it's interesting to learn about new neighborhoods, isn't it? Because the workers go into places where streets and communities where maybe they haven't been there before, and they get to work in the community over a period of time and get to talk to some of the residents, and it's a learning experience.
Absolutely. You get a different perspective. You get out of your own neighborhood, and you get to see how other people are living, what they're doing, and get to broaden your sense of the community. It becomes one big community once you get involved in these things.
And that's always a reason for sponsors to get involved in projects like this, because they want their employees and they want the management to get involved. Like you say, Michael, Art, you are donating electrical materials, and you donate service trucks from Ferndale Electric. Tell us what made Ferndale Electric and NECA move in and be involved with this Detroit project.
Well, I think along with our partners, members of Local 58, IBW, this is the right thing to do. We couldn't do it without their support, and they can't do it without our support. So we're a team, and we like to look at it that way. And this is the right thing to do for the community. From my perspective, with both NECA and Ferndale Electric, this is our second habitat build that we've been involved in. We worked on the Jimmy Carter build back in 2005, and our company wired 5 homes that time. We're donating the materials this time for 2 houses, and some of our employees will be participating this time along with volunteers from the local union. And we've partnered up with several of our suppliers to assist in getting the materials organized and put together, and to donate for 2 homes this year.
That had to be pretty exciting to go out and build a house with Jimmy Carter.
Yes, I was. Unfortunately, I was out of town at the time, and I'd have probably given my right arm to have been back here in Detroit to participate in that myself. And I'm looking forward to coming down and drilling some holes in studs or pulling some Romex or doing something while this takes place. I'm a real hands-on guy, and I'm excited about this probably as much as anybody else is, and I'm happy to see it happening and have a little part in it.
Did your people come back and tell you about their conversation, or they said hi to Jimmy Carter, or maybe even had a T-shirt signed or something like that?
We had about 30 participants from our company in the 2005 build, and we had a group picture taken with Jimmy Carter and his wife, and that's on display in our office, along with individual pictures of our employees that participated in the 2005 build.
Yes, Rosalind Carter was here too, I remember. Yes. She pitches in, and she's building and hammering right along with everybody else.
Yes, she did.
Well, Art, at Ferndale Electric and NECA, this kind of thing is very important, because I know you like to give back to the community in many ways.
Yes. That's a priority for my company, for our employees, and also for NECA. We work very closely through our Labor Management Cooperation Committee, LMCC, and the local union, and finding situations that we can help out in.
Do you learn as contractors? Do you learn things at projects like this?
You always learn something if you're open. And I view this as a learning experience for myself. Even I guarantee you, if I can get some time down here over a couple of days, I'm going to walk away with learning some new things and experiencing some new experiences.
That's great. Well, Vincent, how important are the folks at IBEW, Local 58, and the NECA electrical contractors like Ferndale Electric to the success and the vitality of Habitat Detroit?
Well, let me first of all say we're just so excited to have them back again, Art and Mike here, to come back and work with us. We couldn't do it without these guys. With prices going up every single year for materials and other labor costs, we're just incredibly grateful to have the donation that these guys are bringing to us. And I think what we should do is take another picture again and send it to Jimmy Carter and get him to sign it as well. Let him know that you came back.
Thank you.
Vincent, Michael, Art, thank you for being with us here on Powering Michigan's Future. And coming up, of course, this is all done for people, and we're going to hear from the people as you stay tuned for WJR's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here's Dick Haefner.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We're continuing our conversation with Vincent Tilford, the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity Detroit, and Elgina Johnson, one of the partner families for Habitat Detroit, in a build that's taking place in the Morningside neighborhood on Detroit's east side. Elgina, welcome to our show here on WJR. And tell us what having a Habitat home means to you and your family.
Good afternoon. Habitat means owning a home instead of renting a home. It means a lot to us. We're having some issues at the home we're at now, and we're getting married, and this just blesses us tremendously. When we came into Habitat, you know, we were, you know, coming into the home together, and it's a lot of room that we need, and having our own home, it means a lot. We're just happy about it.
How did you find Habitat for Humanity?
Well, actually, I was having the house that I rent now winterized through DTE. And one of the young ladies that came in, she mentioned, did I think about Habitat? And I said, you know, I know about Habitat. I know a few people that work for Habitat, but I never thought about it for me. And she said, well, you ought to think about it. And I said, okay. So I did my legwork, and I called, and they told me to go on a pre-application, and I did. Went on the website, and I filled out the pre-application. And from there, it just went, you know, it just moved fast. And I was approved, and I just thank Habitat, you know, for doing this for the community. For us, it means a lot, because this is a wedding present, a big wedding present for us. And God just blessed us, so we're happy about it.
Were you surprised when you got the call and said, you've been approved?
Oh, I was so elated. I just danced in the floor. I was elated. I danced a while first before I let Patrick know. And I told my son, and he just yelped out. He screamed out, and I was just happy. And I just got on the phone and called everybody I knew and told them, you know, that I was approved and we were getting ready to start, you know, this wonderful adventure.
Where is the house?
It's on the Morningside. Yes, on the Morningside.
What street is it on? Do you remember?
I'm not sure yet. I haven't, not just today. I don't have the street yet.
And Vincent, you say that sometimes it goes right to the last minute before you actually choose what house somebody goes into. Is that right?
Well, at the point they get, you know, a little bit beyond 50% of their hours, you know, we'll let them know. But we sometimes will drag it out a little bit because it's exciting for them. And they find out at the end that the house that they're working on is actually going to be their house. So they get pretty excited about that.
So, Elgina, are you and Patrick ready to do the work?
Almost definitely. We actually been doing some work. We've been working at the Restore, the new store they have now in Farmington. We worked there, worked at the Greenfield Restore, and I work at the office. I love going to the office. I love everybody there. And we've worked on a home ourselves, you know, and so it's been wonderful just to be able to put some blood, sweat, and tears, help other people get into homes as well, you know. So it's been wonderful.
Now, it is work. It's not as if Habitat for Humanity goes around and just gives people houses.
No.
You have to earn it.
You earn it. I mean, blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, you're really hammering and lifting walls. It's wonderful, though, you know, because you know that you're putting yourself into the home. You know, you're really putting yourself into the home. So it will mean so much to us, you know, to know that we actually built our own home, helped as well.
Have you been studying what you have to do?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
How do you study to help build a house?
Well, I went on the website myself. I, you know, went on a website, and they tell you everything you need. They tell you what you need to have, and went out to the homes and actually watched them, you know, do everything. And, you know, it's like, wow, you see the habituals, you know, everybody that, you know, really worked with the community for years, you know, and they love doing this and been doing it for years. And you meet new people, and I love that.
That's a lot of fun, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it really broadens your horizon.
Yes.
And, of course, I know that you realize you're going to be helping to improve the Morningside neighborhood.
Right. That's wonderful. That's
pretty important thing for the city of Detroit, isn't it?
It is. It's wonderful. Just this week, you know, I've been watching the news and all the people that are coming out, not just Habitat, but I see Habitat on the news, but all the other people that are coming out, you know, helping build homes and, you know, people that really care about Detroit. It really makes a big difference, you know, to see that how people want their city to grow and prosper.
Vincent, remind us, what about the requirements for a family to stay in a Habitat home? What do they have to do?
Well, at the point that we give them a 0% interest mortgage, and they're just like any other homeowner at that point. They pay their mortgage, they pay taxes, they pay insurance. They keep up the house and maintain the home, and we give them the tools to do that, I mean, both figuratively and literally. We give them the training in as they're going through their home buyer training. They'll get financial literacy classes, how to budget for their home, so they are well trained when they go into their home.
And then also they're going into a family as well. It's not just them out there by themselves, but they're there with other habitat families.
And they can be a big help, can't they?
Absolutely. I mean, we have so many families that every year come back and help the new families to build their homes. So it's a great neighborhood to come into.
So part of the secret of success of Habitat for Humanity is to coach for success.
Absolutely. We have family partners is what we call them. We have someone in the office that acts as a mentor and a guide for them. Sometimes they're able to match them up with some of our existing homeowners as well. So it is about coaching. It is about guiding. And at the end of the day, they have the responsibility for the home, but they're not there by themselves.
Now, how important is it that families keep up those houses?
Well, it says something about the community. You know, you've invested your time, you've invested your money, so you don't want to see that investment go to waste. And so many of our families, you know, they compete with one another. Who has the best lawn? Who has the best, you know, landscaping and flower gardens? So, and we like to see that.
So the families, over the course of time, have a good record of maintaining the houses.
They do. I mean, it's hard for them not to, again, because of the training, and they're out there building it themselves. And so when they see something go wrong in their house, they know how to fix it.
What happens when they want to make an improvement?
If they want to make an improvement, it's their home. So they can do what they want. I mean, some of our families, for example, our basements have very high ceilings. And so they actually turn their basement into living areas because it makes it more comfortable for them.
And do they feel that they have to come back to Habitat for permission to do things?
No, it would be just like any other sort of builder who you know, builds a home, they sell it, and then it's that homeowner's responsibility.
Now, over the course of time, Habitat works in cities in over the course of years sometimes. And is there a record of turnover? What happens if the family has a mortgage and, as you say, it's treated just like another house? What happens when they want to sell? Or if they want to move?
So if they want to sell their home, they would sell it just like any other homeowner. Depending upon when they sell, if it's in the first 5 years, because of the subsidy that we put into the home, we will often ask for the first rights of refusal to buy the house. But in most cases, you know, we just allow the families to sell the homes and they, you know, move on to the next house.
How long do families normally stay in these houses?
Most of them stay in it for a very long time, you know, 10, 15 years. We have a number of families, you know, we started in Detroit 25 plus years ago. So we have a number of families who've paid off their homes in that time period. Some pay them off earlier.
Elgina, how long do you think you'll stay in your house?
Oh, well, we plan to be there for a very long time, very long time. I'm just waiting on Detroit to just come up from, you know, the situation they're in. So we're going to be here for a while.
Vincent, who should our listeners go to find out more about Habitat Detroit?
Well, we have a lot of information on our website, www.habitatdetroit.org. I also encourage folks to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Habitat Detroit hashtag. And just go to those sites and you can see what we're doing. And we're actually going to be starting that blitz on the 17th of August. They can come on out and see what's going on.
Our thanks to Vincent Tilford, Dan Guerin, Michael Richard, Art Ashley, and Elgina Johnson. Most of all, thank you for listening to Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Dick Hafner reporting.